God wants to ask this question: who's building your house? Who's building your life? Who's building your situations and circumstances? Who is building your eternal life? Because he says this in Psalms 127:1. He says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sleep. Now you got to ask yourself, are you staying up late, rising up early? Are you staying up late? Are you eating the bread of sorrow or toiling? Are you staying, can't sleep at night? You're worried about this. You're anxious about that. You're fearful about this. God's asking the question, who's building your house? Who's building your life? Who is building your eternity? Who is building the house? You know, Jesus asked the question. He said this to his disciples back over in Mark chapter 8 at verse 34. And Jesus is talking to a group of people who say they believe on him. And he's talking to his disciples. And this is what he says. Jesus called the people to himself with his disciples also. And this is what he said to them. And this is what he said to you. And this is what he said to me. He says, whoever desires to come after me, whoever desires to follow after me, whoever says that they're a child of the Most High God, whoever says that they're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, whoever says that, he says, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow after me. Did you hear that part? He says, if you say out of your mouth, if you can, remember we talked about last week, if you confess out of your mouth and believe in your heart, he says this, if you're saying from your mouth that you desire to come and follow after me, he says, this is what you got to do first. Number one, you have to deny yourself. Number two, you got to take up your cross. And number three, you have to follow after me. Following after me, what does that mean? You got to follow my teachings. You got to follow my instructions. You got to follow my principles. You have to follow my ways of doing and being right. He goes on to say, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Now, when you talk about whoever desires to save his life will lose it, what are you talking about? Whoever desires to save, hold on to, lay hold on to this current temporal life. If you want to maintain the same, even though you say that you're a follower of Jesus, but you want to maintain the same ways of thinking, the same ways of doing, the same ways of responding, the same ways of acting. He says, if the only thing that changed for you is the fact that you said that you called yourself a follower of Jesus, but you still want to hold on to your old way of living, he says, you will lose what? You will lose the God kind of life. What kind of life is that? Life in abundance to the full until it overflows is eternal life. But Jesus says, but whoever loses his life, what life? This temporal life, life like it was before you said you wanted to follow Jesus, life like it was before you called him Lord, life like it was before you bowed your knees to him and said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. He says, whoever is willing to lay down this temporal life for his sake in the Gospels will save it. Save what? Save his eternal life. So what is he saying? In order for you to follow after me, Jesus says, you have to make a great exchange. First thing you got to do is be willing to lay down your old life. And he says this, he says, far too many of my people right now are not willing to lay down their old life. He says, they say they want to be followers of Jesus. He says, but they're not willing to lay down their old life. He says, so I have no expression in the earth through their life because they have not made a decision to lay down their old life. He says this, he says, for what would it profit you? What would it profit you? What would it profit me? What would it profit anybody to gain everything in this world system, in this world's way of doing, in this world's way of acting, in this world's way of being? He says, you can gain all the riches, you can gain all the fame, you can gain all the status, you can have all those things. He says, but what would it profit you? What would it benefit you if you gain all the things of this world's way of doing he says, and lose your own soul. He's saying that, hey, if you lay aside all my ways of doing things and follow after the world's ways of doing things and get all the fame and glory and all the accolades you think you can handle in this life, he says, but you lose your soul. You lose your salvation. You have no relationship with him. You're not following after him. You're not taking up your cross. You're not denying yourself. He says, what would it gain if you gained everything in this life and you lost eternal life? He says, or what will a man or woman give in exchange for a soul? What is more important to you or I than spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is no gray in God. He does not grade on a curve. There is no partiality with God. You're either 100% his or you're none of his. He says, I want you to love me with all of your heart. He says, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And Jesus says, and the second commandment is like this. He says, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus goes on to say here in Mark chapter 8, verse 37, he says, what will a man give in exchange for a soul? He says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Now, what are you talking about? Are you a closet Christian? Is the only person who knows you a follower of Jesus is just you and the Lord because you're going to download? You got everybody else coming out of the closet. You got Christians running into the closet. And this week, Charlie Kirk was assassinated because there was people who did not agree with his way of thinking, his way of believing. And he had many different conversations and debates with people on all these campuses. But this day, this individual made a decision that he had had enough. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you how it works. If people cannot destroy your message, the next thing they will try to do is they will try to destroy your name. If they can't destroy your name, the next thing they will try to do is they will try to eliminate you. And I'm here to let you know, and all of heaven know, and let all hell know, and every demon in hell and every angel in heaven know. And I declare and decree, we will not be silent. In fact, we will be more boisterous now than we was ever before. Why? Because that what the adversary tries to do is he tries to get you into fear to the point that you won't want to say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will not be silent. We will not give up. We will not quit. Have we had stuff come against us? Absolutely. But you know what? It didn't make us weaker. It just made us stronger. Oh, snap. That's how you want to play? And then what do? You get more dogmatic about it. You said, Father, I stand. I'm not giving up. I'm not caving in and quit. And Jesus says, whoever's ashamed of me or my words before this generation, he says, of the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he comes into his glory. Hey, in other words, he said, either you going to stand up for me. If you stand up for me in this life, I will stand up for you when you stand before me in glory. If you are ashamed of me in this life, I will be ashamed of you when I stand in glory. It's really that simple. And most people try to, complicate it. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus makes it so simple. He says this, if you say that you are my disciple, he says, if you say you are my student, if you say you are my follower, if you say that you are going to lay down you're going to come follow after me, Jesus says you have to deny yourself, lay down your old life, take up your cross and follow my teachings, my instructions, my way of doing and being right. Do y'all see how simple that is? Do you see that there is no gray in God? You're either following God or you're not. You're either with God or you're not. It's really that simple. See, yesterday I was listening to a podcast and just meditating on the word that was going forth. And somebody said this about one of the speaker who was on the podcast. He said, he told him, he says, you know what? You're a dinosaur. And the guy was like, what do you mean I'm a dinosaur? He didn't know what that meant. And he goes on to say, he says, the pastor at the church where he was speaking at said this about him. He says, you still teach the Bible line upon line. He says, precept upon precept. And he says, but we are past that now. He says, that's not how we do it anymore. He says, we don't teach the Bible like that. We don't go line upon line. We don't necessarily go precept upon precept. And the speaker said, he's like, well, then what do you do? He says, because yeah, you might have a little smoke. You might even have lights. Okay, no, there's no problem with that. He says, but you cannot exclude the word in exchange for light and smoke. You cannot exclude the word of God for self-help talk. You can't exclude the word of God for TED Talks. You can't replace the word of God for reading somebody else's book. You know, we write books. We have books that are out there. But the book is not the source. The book is merely a resource, is merely something that we use in order to get it to teach people principles in the way that they can understand it. But the source of everything that's in that book comes from the word of God. And what most people have done, and even pastors and leaders have done, in many cases, they have taken a book. In fact, I know churches right now, they will refer more to the author of a book than they refer to the author of the book, the Bible, the word of God. So-and-so said, I don't care what so-and-so said. What does the Bible say? So-and-so said this. Okay, great. I don't care what they said. What does the Bible say? Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you're going to stand before a God, and God is not going to ask you, what did this author say about this? And what did that author say about that? Nothing against authors, because I myself am my author, and we have books. The point is you cannot let the book that a man wrote about things that was according to the word of God replace what the word of God has to say. And in many cases, people are referencing books without referencing the Holy Bible. And what they try to do is they try to make the Bible fit in this book, as opposed to using the Bible as the source and making sure that the whatever is in the book matches up with the Bible. Can you see the difference between the two? God, and as I was sitting there thinking about that yesterday, and I said out of my mouth, and I was in the truck by myself, I said, Lord, I guess I will be a dinosaur, because I'm not going to ever stop teaching your word line upon line and precept upon precept. And just like your word says to teach the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you said teach the word in season and out of season and bring about correction. This is what the word of the Lord said. He says, you can be physically alive and still be spiritually dead. He goes on to say, remember, Jesus says, if you're going to follow after me, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're saying you're coming after me, he says, there's some things you're going to have to do. He says, you're going to have to, one, deny yourself, two, take up your cross, and three, you got to follow after me. God also said this yesterday. He says, you can say all the right things out of your mouth and never mean it from your heart and still be spiritually dead. Why is that part important? Because remember, we talked about last week when you're talking about God's ways always works in the fact that in order to get God's results, you have to do it God's way. And the first thing of doing it God's way, you have to say the same thing about the situation that God says about the situation. But it's not just a matter of saying it, because I know a lot of people, we have been guilty of that ourselves earlier on in our walk. You can say a lot of things out of your mouth and still never mean it from your heart. But the biblical principle is confess from your mouth, say out of your mouth, the same things out of your mouth that God has already said about the situation, because that's what you really believe in your heart. Unfortunately, a lot of us have said stuff out of our mouth that we did not believe in our hearts. And he says, even people, you have had people who have prayed the prayer of salvation. They may have said it out of their mouth, but they did not mean it from their heart. And even though they said it, they did not believe it. And because they did not believe it, they are still spiritually dead. He goes on to say, he says, you can go through all the rituals and still never be alive to God. And he says, that is the state of many of my people right now. He says, the state of my people are right now. And he says, and my return is imminent. And there has to be a voice crying in the wilderness, sounding the alarm. And ladies and gentlemen, we are a voice in the wilderness, sounding the alarm to let people know that it's not just enough to say it out of your mouth if you don't mean it from your heart. You can be alive, but still physically and spiritually, you could be spiritually dead, even though on the outside you look like a brand new Rolls Royce. On the outside, you look like the latest Lamborghini. On the outside, you got the latest Michael Kors or the Gucci purse. On the outside, you can look all great, but on the inside, you can be rotten to the core. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the earth and he used to deal with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, you worship me with your lips. You give me great accolades with your lips. He says, but your heart is far from me. And God says this. He says, there's many people who are giving me accolades with their mouth. They're saying all these swelling words with their mouth. He says, but I'm telling you, their hearts are far from me. And if they don't repent, if they don't make a decision to turn, if they don't make a decision to give up their old life today and follow wholly after me, he says, as we get closer and closer to the end, these people will be lost. And these people will not only be lost for a little while, these people will be lost for eternity. God says, you have to be alive to God, but dead to this world. You have to be dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness. You cannot, grace does not excuse sin. Grace empowers you and I to overcome sin. People say, well, I'm under grace. You are, but grace is an empowerment to overcome sin. Grace does not excuse sin. How do you know? Because Paul said this. He says in Romans, I believe it's in chapter 5, says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. Why? Because grace is not an excuse for you to stay in sin. Grace means you have the ability, the power of God on the inside of you to overcome it and not have to go back to it in the name of Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to first deny yourself. Why did he say you have to deny yourself? Why did he say you have to give up your old life? Because God has to be first place. God has to be first place. In fact, he says this when he brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. This is what the Lord said. He said to them, when the people heard the thunder, God gave the people all these instructions after he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God before me. You must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind, of an image of anything in the heavens or in the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. What did he say? You should not bow down to them, nor shall you worship them. Now, most people, when you read it, it's like, man, that don't even qualify for me because I don't have any graven images of anything. I have not bowed down to serve anything. Did you know, we talked about this before, that an idol could be anything that you put in front of God. Your spouse could be an idol. Your children could become idols. Your job, your career, your house, your cars, money can become an idol. Why? Because it's anything that you will put in front of God. You said, well, give me an example. Well, guess what? You know, it's Sunday. You're supposed to be in the house of the Lord, gaining knowledge with understanding so you can be doers of God's word and not a hearer only. But your job calls you on Saturday night and says, hey, you know what? We're offering overtime for tomorrow morning. So if you come in, we'll pay you triple time. Now, you got a decision. You already know that you're supposed to be fellowshipping amongst other believers. You already know that you're supposed to be, you know, getting knowledge with understanding. what a lot of people will say, God will understand. If I go and make this money, then I have more money to give to the church. But God will never say, hey, put money over me. God will always say, go. And you, when you get the word of the Lord, when you get my instructions tomorrow, when you're sitting in service, I'll give you a witty idea, a witty invention, a creative way for you to make more money where you will have more streams of income that you had with that job. But most people won't look at it like that. When they have bowed their knee at the idol of mammon, then they'll say, you know what, God understands. I'm gonna go ahead and get that bag, and I could watch the message on TV, or I can watch it on live stream. God says, I will have no other gods before me. Then what else is the next thing he said to the people? Because he was given, at this point, he'd already brought them out of slavery. He'd already brought them out of bondage. Same thing when he brought you, when you said you made Jesus Lord of your life, he brought you out of slavery or sin. He brought you out of the bondage. And he's saying to you, now that you have been brought out of that old way of life, that old way of living, that old way of thinking, he says, deny yourself. Make Jesus, he didn't say make Jesus Savior. He says Jesus has to be Lord. What does that mean? He has to be the first place. He has to be at first in rank, supreme in authority, supreme in character, the master, the savior. He is the owner. He has the final say. When he has the final say, guess what happens? You stop trying to stay up all night to try to figure it out on your own. When he has the final say, you stop toiling. When he has the final say, you stop laboring in vain to try to build your house, and you allow him to build your house. When he has the final say, what happens? You've made a decision to lay down your old life, to pick up the life that he has for you, to go and take up your cross and to follow wholly after him. Then God says, as he goes on to say later in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, now the people are, now this is how you know that God, even all the way back in the early time, wanted to have a relationship with people. It was never meant for people to have to go through a priest only, but it wasn't God's idea. It was the people's idea. How can you say that? Because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, this is what happened. Now, when God is talking about the Ten Commandments and giving this instructions, he's not just talking to Moses. The people who are there can hear this whole conversation. And this, how do you know? This is what he says. He says, and when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. Did you hear what they just said? God is talking to all the people, not just to Moses, but he's talking to all the people. But because of their fear of God, being afraid of God, they said, Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us directly to us, or we will die. Then Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. Now, most people said, well, doesn't that sound the same thing? They was afraid of God, so that's why they was going to stay away from God. No. That was the nature of the adversary. Because remember, before Adam and Eve bowed their knees in the garden and sinned against God by violating that commandment, what did they do? They fellowshiped with God in the cool of the day. But what happened the moment they bowed to sin? What was the first thing that came? Shame and fear. And what did they do? They did not run to the presence of God. They ran from the presence of God. What did Adam say? Because he was afraid. And what did they say? Because we are afraid of God, we don't want to be in the presence of God. But Moses says, no, God came to you in this way to test you, to see if the fear, the reverential fear of God was in you, where you honored him and where you worshiped him and when you reverenced him to the point that, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay. These are your commandments, I'm going to keep your commandments because I don't want anything or anyone to ever come in between the relationship that I have with you. Because I honor you, God, and because I fear you, that when you speak, Lord, I will listen. I will follow whatever you tell me to do. And he says, and when you fear the Lord, you will tremble at his presence. You will tremble at his word. You will be so quick to obey what his word says, not because you're afraid of God, but because you love him so much and you hold him in such high esteem and you hold him in such honor that he is first place in your life. Do you see that part right there? What he's saying is, I talk to you directly, but the reason why I'm not talking to you directly now is not because I didn't desire to, but because you made a decision that you did not want to talk to me directly. Do y'all see that part? Now, a lot of people will say, you know, the number one characteristic of God is God is love. And that is partially true, but it's not the full truth. Yes, is God love? Yes, we find that in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. We find that he says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The nature of God, the character of God is love. Will we all agree to that? And we also talked about last week how God says, I've set before you. And he still says the same thing this week. I've set before you life and death. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. He says it this way. He says, no, the message is very close at hand. It's in your lips and it's in your hearts so that you can obey it. Did you hear that part? The word has to be in your mouth. The word has to be in your heart. It's not enough just for you to have it in your mouth or have it in your head if you don't have that word in your heart. It says, confess from your head that Jesus is Lord. He says, confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Remember, you can be alive physically and still be spiritually dead. He goes on to say, today, I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, which means I'm no longer operating in the fear of God. I'm no longer operating in what the reverential honor and worship of God. I'm no longer holding God's words and God's commands and God in high esteem and first place in my life. I've made a decision to hold on to my old life. I made a decision to hold on to my old ways. I made a decision to hold on to my old ways of thinking. He says, then if you make a decision to do that, he says, and if you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods. So are you seeing the theme here? God says, I am to be first place. But if you make a decision that you're not going to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. He says, if you make a decision that you want to turn away and serve other gods, he says, that I'm warning you now that you will certainly be destroyed. Did it say God was going to destroy you? It did not. Did it say God was going to be the one to bring chaos to your life? It did not. It says, but if you make a decision that you're going to turn away and follow after other gods, you remember we said how in Proverbs chapter 14, how there is a way that seems right unto a man or a woman, but the end of that way is death and destruction. He says, you will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. God says it again, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice. How can you make this choice? By loving the Lord your God, obeying and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Now, what is God saying? He says, the choice is yours. I've given you free will. I don't make your decisions for you. I don't choose for you. But if you say that you're going to take up your cross and If you say that you are following Jesus, if you say that you are a child of the Most High God, if you say that you're going to do all that, you have turned from your old ways to pick up his new life, he says, then you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, follow after him. You have to be willing to lay down your old life to take up the new. And something that I found when you talk about how you can be alive, say that you're alive, but still be spiritually dead. I wasn't the one who said it. Actually, the book of Revelation says that. And this is where we're going to stop at today and pick up next week, because we're going to be on this one for a little bit. He says this in Revelation chapter 3, talking about you can be alive. On the outside, it can appear like you're alive, like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They appear to people to be alive. I mean, they was holding these high places, and they wore these fabulous garments, and they had this prestige. And when they would walk through the street, people would speak high swelling words of them. But Jesus says, but on the inside, you are dead as rotten as bones. This is what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. He says it this way. And to the angel, I'm reading out of the Amplified, to the angel, the messenger of the assembly of the church at Sardis, write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. I know your record and what you are doing. You are supposed to be alive, but in reality, you are dead. Rouse yourselves and keep awake and strengthen and invigorate what remains and is at the point of dying. For I have not found a thing that you have done, any work of yours, meeting the requirements of my God. I don't know about you, but when I read that, or perfect in his sight. So call to mind the lessons you received and heard. Continually lay them to heart and obey them and repent. What is he telling you to do? There were things that you learned from the very beginning. There was things that you was rooted in, you was grounded in from the very beginning. But somehow over time, you let other things come in, crowd them out, and push them out of the way. And you turned away from those things and you start following other things. Because Sardis was a very prosperous church. Remember the thing Jesus says, what would it profit you if you gain everything in this world and to lose your soul? They had prosperity. They had wealth. They had riches all around them. And what happened? Those things came in and they began to take more priority in the people's lives than the lessons, the instructions, and teachings that Jesus had already told the people. What did he tell them? He says, so call to mind the lessons you received and heard, which means go back and pick up what it is that you learned before. He says, continue to lay them to your heart, not your head, to your heart, and obey them. And repent. What does repent mean? Turn from the way that you're going right now in your thinking, in your choosing, and in your actions, and go back another way. He says, in case you will not rouse yourself and keep away and watch. If you make a decision, I'm telling you what to do, but if you make a decision not to do them, he says, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know or suspect at what hour I will come. Yet you still have a few persons' names in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes, and they walk in with me in white because they are worthy and deserving. Thus, he who conquers is victorious, white garments, and I will not erase or from the book of life. In other words, Jesus is saying this. He says, I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you how to get back on the right path. I'm telling you how to put my things priority in your life. But if you have made a decision, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to follow my own path. I'm going to earn my own salvation. I'm not going to lay down my life. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to take up my cross. I'm not going to follow after you. I'm not going to keep your instructions. I'm not going to keep your teachings. I'm not going to keep your ways of doing things. If you make a decision, because what is he doing? He's giving this church an opportunity to repent. What is he giving us? Opportunity to repent. It's not just a matter of you not getting being blessed. He says, if you don't turn from this situation, you can have your name erased or blotted out of the book of life. God, remember, Jesus says, I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess him openly before my Father and before his angels. Did we not talk about that in Mark chapter 8 when he says, if you are ashamed of me before this generation, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, when I'm in my glory, I will proclaim you, talk about you before the angels and before my Father. Now, he who is able to hear, let him hear, listen to, and heed what the Holy Spirit says to this church. What he's saying is, whoever can hear this message, that even though on the outside it may seem like you're alive, but on the inside you are dead as dead, like dried up bones. He says, if you make a decision today to turn from that way, and you make a decision today that says, Lord, hey, you know what? I have been off. I haven't always been doing what I'm supposed to do. I have let some things slip. Lord, today I make a decision to heed your warning, and I make a decision to pick up those things which I have let slip. And I make a decision to continue in your teachings and in your instructions and in your ways of doing right. And I make a decision to lay aside every weight and lay aside every sin, which does so easily beset me. And Lord, I make a decision that you are first place in my life, not only in my head, but I make that decision in my heart. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow wholly after you. I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. I want to give you an opportunity to act out on it right now. We find this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to make that confession with me today. Confess it out of your mouth, meaning from your heart. Make it Jesus truly the head of your life, but also be willing to lay down your old life, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following after him. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Father, I make a decision. I lay down my old life. I deny myself. I take up my cross and I follow wholly after you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I'm born anew from above. And from this day forward, I will walk and live and talk in the reverential fear of God for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you to the right relationship with God, welcome you to the right standing with God. What do you got to do next, man? You got to get into a Bible-based church to teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Ignite Depot and Faith Life is such a place. We'd like to invite you to join us here every Saturday night at 6 p.m., where we'll have this word, and you can get a life-changing word that will change your life forever. Now, what else do you need to do? You need to begin to study the Word of God, because in order to be a doer of the Word, you got to know what the Word says in the first place. In order to keep God's teachings and instructions, you got to know what God's teachings and instructions are. And you can follow us here on Ignite to Life podcast and follow us on YouTube at Ignite to Life or Ignite Depot, and you will also be able to find these teachers and all the other teachers. On behalf of Pastor Jordan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. See you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.